The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'm Nikki. I'm delighted to be here. Many familiar faces, some new faces here. So the topic that I'd like to share some reflections on this morning is the topic of forgiveness. And one reason why this topic came up for me is getting towards the end of the year, if you haven't noticed already. And the culture that I come from, I'm Persian, I'm Iranian. I was born in Tehran, Iran. And in the Persian culture, the new year is the first day of spring. So we still have that to look forward to in March. But towards the end of the year, there's a ritual of trying to forgive and trying to leave the grudges in the old year, so that one starts the new year with a fresh heart, with an open heart. So I was reflecting on that. I was bringing that reflection into this year ending and thinking about what are the upsets, what are the angers, resentments I still have. Can I give that a little bit of thought? Can I give that a little bit of thought? And I thought this could be something to talk about in general and to share, because I think it's a lovely thing to yearly think about that. What are the ways in which we can offer forgiveness? Also, I've noticed that the same way that when a year ends and a new one starts, the beginning and an ending and another beginning, forgiveness also becomes very important at the time of death. Very important. If you've had loved ones that you've lost, or you've ever had a situation, an illness where you felt close to leaving this world, offering forgiveness and being forgiven becomes so important. It's finishing unfinished business, having clarity, having closure. And in a way, our Buddhist practice is not just the way of life, really being present in this world, but it also prepares us for our death, prepares us for that closure. So I think forgiveness is appropriate in that context also. So first, what is forgiveness? Let's have an operational definition of what forgiveness is and what it isn't, so that we're all on the same page. As there was mentioned in my bio, I have a scientific background, so definitions are important, so we're talking about the same thing. So what is forgiveness? So forgiveness, and also, by the way, psychologists also have done a lot of research on forgiveness, what forgiveness is. They've defined it also, what it is not. So I'll borrow also from the psychologist definitions, what it is and what it isn't, as well as it aligns really well with the Buddhist definition. So forgiveness is a conscious and deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment and vengeance towards a person or a group that has harmed you, regardless of whether or not they actually deserve the forgiveness. So it's not that you gloss over or you deny the serious offenses that have happened. You don't forget them. Forgiving doesn't mean forgetting, doesn't mean condoning. It doesn't mean excusing the offense that has happened. It doesn't mean any of those. It means releasing our own heart. It means finding peace within ourselves. It's not condoning the action, but finding ease, finding release, and letting go of the resentment. So the first step really is letting go of that resentment. See, knowing that there is that anger, that's not productive for us, recognizing that the anger and the resentment is hurting us more than anyone else. It's like a hot coal. Anger is likened in Buddhism to a hot coal. You pick it up to throw it at someone, but guess who gets hurt more than anyone else? You get hurt because you're the one holding the hot coal. Then allowing goodwill to enter the heart also for the other person, or if you're forgiving yourself, that can be the second person, the second step in forgiveness. Forgiveness can be private. In this case, it is private, actually. It's for our own benefit. Even if the person, if we're forgiving others, they may not come and ask for forgiveness. They may not come and repent, but it's really a way to find freedom in our own hearts. It's a way to find peace, which is part of this practice, finding peace, finding ease, finding a liberation of our hearts, and forgiveness allows us to do that. What lack of forgiveness, so what do we lose? Let's talk about that for a moment. What do we lose when we don't forgive? The feelings of resentment, hostility, anger, and hatred towards another person. They get us stuck in a negative space. We're no longer available to take in the good of what is available in our lives. Instead of, for example, this morning was such a lovely morning. The air is so fresh and the birds were singing. And if you notice when you're doing your walking meditation or when you walked into the hall, it was lovely. So if one is in the state of resentment and anger, one is boiling in that, there's no space to be present for what a precious life this is, how amazing it is to be alive. We're stuck in that negativity. And also we're not available so much to see the good in the people who are in our lives, the people whom we love and we can love and share with, because we're not so available. We're stuck in this, in what happened, in the injustice of it, in the terribleness of it. So in Buddhism, as I mentioned, really forgiveness is not about so much offering it. It's private in so many ways. It's about finding peace and ease in our own hearts. If you choose to never ever let the person who offended you back into your life, but you have release, you don't live with the tightness, with the ill will, with the anger, with the fire that comes up in the heart when one thinks of the person or the action. There's this quote that I like by Alice Miller. Genuine forgiveness does not deny anger, but faces it head on. So as a part of forgiveness, we have to actually go through the process of grief. We have to go through the process of anger. We have to go through that process. So what I'm saying doesn't mean that we just let go and say, well, okay, I forgive. Ha, 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 okay, I forgive. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, we're human beings. We know that, right? And it cannot be forced. It takes its own time. A lot of times we may feel that we're not ready. We're not ready to forgive yet. We give it time. It's okay. It cannot be forced. Forgiveness cannot happen by a force of will. It's not something that you can do by a force. It's only something that can be released. So in my mind, it's really, it's clear with a hand gesture. You can make it happen. It's not a closed fist. It's an open hand that you let go of the resentment when you're ready. And a lot of times we're not ready yet, which is okay. It's setting the intention. It's inclining the mind towards the intention to forgive someday. And letting us take the time. And in the meanwhile, there might be the process of feeling the anger, going through the process of of what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross has beautifully described, the process of grief and loss, the five stages of actually feeling the anger, feeling the denial, feeling all the stages until one gets to the sense of acceptance and letting go, which is really the release of our own hearts. Forgiveness also is very closely related to compassion in Buddhism. Very closely related, because after the resentment is let go of the resentment towards, say, the other person, then if we can find goodwill in our hearts, if we can find the goodwill in our hearts, so that when we think of the other person, all this anger doesn't come up, but the sense of, may you too be well, may you too be well. It's a process. It's really a process. It's not an overnight thing. It's not cursory. And also we might have to forgive over and over and over again until it's done. There might be layers. We might think that we worked through it and we have forgiven, and it might come up again, and it's okay. It's part of the practice. It's part of the practice of forgiveness. There might be another layer, like an onion, forgiving some more, forgiving some more, forgiving some more. I know that that has been the case for me in my own life, of forgiving and coming to a place of peace, and then realizing, no, there is more left, there is more work to do, and then working on it again and getting to a deeper level, and then realizing, no, there is more work to do. So layers and layers and layers. Forgiveness often is more difficult for ourselves than for the other person. And that is forgiving ourselves, perhaps, a lot of times is more important because we live with ourselves all the time. Have you noticed? We might think of the other person who has done us ill now and then, but we live with ourselves all the time. And opening to forgiveness for ourselves is really important. And I'll talk more about the process in a moment. I want to share a beautiful quote by Maya Angelou, one of my favorite poets. It's a bit of a long quote. I don't know if I continue, even today, always liking myself. But what I learned to do many years ago was to forgive myself. It is very important for every human being to forgive herself or himself, because if you live, you will make mistakes. It is inevitable. But once you do, and you see the mistake, then you forgive yourself and say, well, if I'd known better, I'd have done better. That's all. So you say to people who you think you may have injured, I'm sorry. And then you say to yourself, I'm sorry. If we all hold on to mistakes, we can see our own glory in the mirror because we have the mistake between our faces and the mirror. Isn't that beautiful? We have the mistakes between our faces and the mirror. We can see what we're capable of being. You can ask for forgiveness of others, but in the end, the real forgiveness is in one's own self. I think that young men and women are so caught by the way they see themselves. Now, mind you, when a larger society sees them as unattractive, as threats, as too black or too white, or too poor or too fat or too thin or too sexual or too asexual, that's rough. But you can overcome that. The real difficulty is to overcome how you think about yourself. If we don't have that, we never grow, we never learn, and sure as hell, we should never teach. It's interesting that this sense of that this idea of self-forgiveness came up for me also days ago when I was feeling out of sorts in the morning, and I knew that day I had to spend time meditating and going for a walk, and there are many things that I just had to do in order to take care of my body. And I ended up having, you know, how you do one thing after another in terms of the computer, and you have to send this email, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and various things. And by the end of the day, by the time the sun was going down, I hadn't done anything I intended to do in the morning. Had you had any one of those days? Anyone? And that feeling of out of sortness that I had in the morning, it was exacerbated by the evening. The mind was tight, the body was tight, and there was this sense of anger towards myself. Like, why did I do that? Why didn't I? Why did... There was this anger. And I realized, whoa, okay, I need to sit. I need to sit. So I was sitting and just sitting with this sense of tightness in myself. Like, you should have done this. This is the intention. You woke up in the morning. Whoa. So sitting with this resentment, thinking, wow, I'm really stuck. It was just a feeling of tightness. I was really, really stuck. And I was angry with myself. Like, how could you do that to me? I was telling myself. And I realized I was just stuck. I was pouring more unhelpful minutes after the unhelpful minutes that I had spent that day. I mean, things that had to get done, but anyway, not wise perhaps for that day. So I realized I was pouring good minutes after bad minutes. I sort of stuck in that for a little bit, and I thought, okay, what if I just forgive myself? Say, okay, it's okay, I made a mistake, it's okay. It was a release. It was a change in attitude. It was just a release. Ah, okay. And I released that anger that I had towards myself, and it really shifted. It really shifted. Just the sense, the feeling my body had, the feeling my mind had, the tightness, and releasing the anger, like, okay, the day is gone. Forgive yourself. If you could do better, you would have done. If I could have done any better, given the circumstances, I would have done. And best to let it go now. And the evening, still, there's still an evening ahead of me. Okay, so... It was a release, really. It was like opening up the hand, letting go of the anger, and realize, wow, there is still so much to appreciate, to be grateful for this evening, instead of being angry towards myself about how I spend the whole day and spend the evening being angry. Let that go. And it just completely changed my attitude and my body and my mind, and wow. And the evening turned out actually pretty well. So forgiveness for ourselves sometimes can be even harder. And it doesn't have to be just for big things. It's a daily thing. So I give this small, tiny example of me having a bad day. It's a small example, but this is how we live our lives, moment by moment by moment. These big things, when we feel perhaps in big ways we have betrayed ourselves or others, those are big things that do happen in life also. But there are also these little things that we do. Like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that thing, that chocolate cake or whatever. You know, just these little ways that that also various feelings of anger towards ourselves can come up. Another word about that, though. There are ways in which forgiving ourselves can be productive, and ways in which it may not be productive. And let me make a distinction. So it's important for us to not, when we forgive ourselves, not to condone our actions, because we need to take responsibility for our actions so that we learn and act more wisely for the future instead of completely letting ourselves off the hook. So there is a way to acknowledge what we have done, feeling remorse about it, and then letting go the anger and resentment. Instead of completely letting go, completely not even acknowledging the mistakes that we have made, in which case there is no lesson to learn. You see the distinction I'm trying to make? Is that clear? Show of heads, yes, no, yes, yes, thank you. Okay, great. So be mindful of that as you are going through the process of forgiveness for yourself. And also, research in psychology shows that lack of forgiveness for oneself, when there is the sense of shame, of feeling completely unworthy or bad to the core, is very destructive and very unhelpful. So sense of forgiveness can hold all of that when it can wisely be brought in. So in the process of forgiveness, either forgiving oneself or forgiving others, one step that is really, really helpful and perhaps makes, how should I put it? It's let me say what that step is. The step is actually naming, being very clear, being very clearly able to verbalize to a witness what the story is before we let it go, and how we really feel about it, can really verbalize. And this is can especially be important when it's about forgiving another person. Perhaps finding a safe third person to talk to so that we can talk about what the issue, we can clearly verbalize our feelings, emotions. When the process of being witnessed is a very powerful one. That's what I'm trying to get across. In cases where it's a big one, where it's a big act of forgiveness and it takes and it's a process. The act of being witnessed by someone else is really, really profound. And we often don't realize how profound it might be to be witnessed, to share these important shifts in our hearts and minds and articulate to another person. And what the other person would do is just to acknowledge what we have shared. If you have a safe person in your life who can serve that role for you, take advantage of it. Allow them to be a witness if you are in the process of forgiving either yourself or somebody else. And in fact, many of the councils, the Truth and Reconciliation Councils, that for example happened in South Africa after apartheid, where people would come and just talk and be witnessed. And it's a very powerful process to be witnessed. A beautiful quote by Mahatma Gandhi: "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." I like that because it takes work to forgive. It does take work to forgive. It's easier to be stuck in resentment in the natural trapdoor that our minds often fall into, which is a trapdoor of negativity, and just stay there. Another quote I like by Lily Tomlin: "Forgiveness means giving up all hope for a better past." It's when you make peace with the past. So I wanted to say also a couple of words about the process. So in Buddhist practice, there is an internal process. There is an internal process, which is meditation, meditating on forgiveness. There are beautiful guided meditations that are online, and if you search, for example, and I think on Audio Dharma and Dharma Seed, there are various ones that could be found there. And basically, And Jack Kornfield also has written beautifully about forgiveness in one of his books, which has forgiveness in its title. I forget the complete title. And forgiveness, I mean, the process is to in our own hearts to contemplate that we have all hurt each other, we have all hurt somebody else. We have everybody in this room, we have all caused harm. We all have. And we have all been hurt. It's part of being human. It's part of being human. And we cannot expect life to be perfect. It isn't. We make mistakes. People make mistakes. It's our reaction to those mistakes. If our first reaction, just for the first time, is anger, okay, that's healthy. That's a healthy expression of, okay, there's something wrong here. But if it's our 10th reaction or 20th reaction, or 10 years later is our reaction to that event that happened, it's still anger and has become resentment, then it's not productive anymore. Then it locks us in, makes us less available for ourselves and for other people in our lives. So in the forgiveness meditation, we contemplate that we have all been hurt and we have hurt others. And as much as we are able to, we try to hold ourselves in forgiveness as much as possible. And then in our hearts, we ask the other person for forgiveness, and we offer them for forgiveness. So there are three aspects of it: offering ourselves forgiveness, in our hearts offering the other person forgiveness, and asking them in our hearts for forgiveness. So it's an internal process, and given that, I think I'll just recommend that you, can I do a little guided meditation? Would you be up for it? A little guided meditation. Okay, let's do a little guided meditation. Okay. So get into your meditation posture. And start by just settling into the body, closing your eyes, settling into your body. And allowing your attention to settle on your breath, on the sensations of your breath. And now, as you feel your mind is starting to settle, feeling expansive, feeling at ease, feeling at peace, bring to mind ever so gently just one thing, not the biggest thing in your life, but be the second or third thing about yourself that you like to forgive yourself. You like to find some room to hold yourself with forgiveness. Bring that to mind. Bring to mind the story for a moment. Now, see if you can allow yourself to let go of the storyline, to let go of the storyline, and just stay with the sensations, with the emotion, with the feeling in the body. See if you can find in the body where the sadness, where the hurt, where the anger, where it's held. And if see if under that, under the anger that there may be, maybe there is something else under that. Maybe there's sadness. Maybe there's disappointment. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's loss. Perhaps the reason, if you are feeling angry towards yourself, is really that sadness, at loss, or whatever else there might be under the anger. And see if there can be just a little bit of room for allowing the feeling to be, the sadness. Or disappointment, or whatever it is under, if you found something. Allowing it to be, relaxing, softening, opening to it. You too can be here. You too can be here. For as much as I'm able to, or as much as I'm able to right now, today, I hold myself with kindness. I hold myself with acceptance. I hold myself with forgiveness. As much as I'm able to. And if I'm not, right now, I open to the potential that someday I may, and it's okay. May I hold myself with as much kindness and acceptance as is available to me right now. So, obviously, in this very short guided meditation, I didn't go through all of the stages and offering forgiveness to others, etc., etc. It was just a little practice nugget. We just have a couple of minutes left. I would love to hear if there are any comments or observations, anything. Microphone, do we have any mics?
While you were speaking, I was thinking of two situations that I've come back to and think about quite a bit what they're about. And I'll just let them sit for a while. As we did this guided meditation, I didn't think of either one of those. I thought about something completely different. And what came up around the idea of forgiveness, so I didn't feel a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. What I felt was a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And about why the thing happened mm-hmm. the way it did with mm-hmm. a particular person. And then I realized that was a common theme to the other two as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's confusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a layer. It's a layer of some unresolved peace,
mm-hmm.
and forgiveness is required, or to get under that, or
right.
the confusion, getting under the confusion is somehow right. required in the forgiveness.
Right.
And I can't make it any clearer than that. I don't know how clear that is, but I just would like to hear what you have to say about confusion and forgiveness.
Hmm. So I think we need to talk a little more for me to understand exactly, and given that we have limited time. So let me tell you what comes to my mind. Basically, I think forgiveness is a compound word for a lot of different things. One is acceptance. One is letting go of anger. One is opening up to goodwill, etc. So it's compound. It's not one thing. So what you talked about is accepting that there was confusion, that there was this confused... Maybe you're experiencing, like, how did that happen? Like, accepting, well, it happened. It was a confusing situation. Maybe I didn't understand the other... It was accepting that that's what it was. So it's that acceptance part of it that becomes more relevant in this case, perhaps. And I'm happy to talk offline. Yeah. So there's so much more to say about forgiveness, and I think we are out of time. I want to leave you with one last quote, which is by Benjamin Franklin. And also somebody else requoted this by, instead of the best, so the quote starts, "The best thing to give," and you can think of it, "the best thing to give over the holidays as a Christmas gift. The best thing to give your enemy is forgiveness. To an opponent, tolerance. To a friend, your heart. To your child, a good example. To a father, deference. To your mother, conduct that will make her proud of you. To yourself, respect. To all men, charity," which we can also say metta, or loving kindness. Thank you so much for your practice. Mm.